morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Oh, good morning, my friends. Yes, it's Wednesday, Life Wednesday. So glad to have you tuning in to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I am Stacy Ann, and it is March 18th, 7:06 a.m. in the morning. And I just want to remind you that you can tell your friends and family, even if they're not in the Salem area, to tune in by listening live at kslm.news. Follow us on Facebook at KSLM Radio, where news you can use here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower. And if you have something going on in the community that you want to let us know, I want to encourage you to email me. Give us a call. In fact, our studio line is 503-589-1220. We want to partner with you and keep the information flowing, particularly at this time. I was kind of shocked and in awe a little bit of the fact that school will continue to be closed. Maybe you heard this yesterday. The governor has said here in the state of Oregon that schools will be closed through the end of April, the 28th of April, extending. And originally, it was just a few weeks, now going through April. And I know just the other night when we were out, it was like the last night that we could eat at a restaurant, talking with Kristen. There, our waitress, you know, she's a mom, single mom of a couple kids, and I know it's really put people in a little bit of a new normal, right? Trying to figure out how to still go to work, make sure the kids are adequately taken care of, and some of you are able to work at home, and so you're trying to balance that being mom, being a dad at home, working at home, and also managing time with kids, and so this is kind of our new normal for now, and it's for a reason, and we understand that in the spirit of it, making sure that this virus that is hitting some areas stronger than others is contained and goes away. And I'm of a belief, and with my Christian worldview, I believe that the best way to combat this, not only by washing our hands and taking self-care to the highest level, but also through prayer, and really in a spirit of understanding that you know, we can handle this each and every day through faith. One of my sayings, and I'll keep hitting this, is that we can't operate in a spirit of fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. We can hit this with faith and facts head on. And when that fear knocks on our door and we become anxious, we can let faith really step in. And I think that's a really good mantra for us to remind ourselves as we start wondering where this is, or we start feeling through our social distancing when we do get outside of our home, you know, walking in that fear and faith. We are still humans, and we still need to be kind to one another and look towards ways that we can support our community. And I'm excited about what's going on in this community in regards to the United Way and partnering with the homebound, the elderly. I saw this meme on Facebook that really spoke to me yesterday, where a gentleman was going to visit his dad that he could not see him, physically see him, but he was on the other side of the window. You may have seen this too on Facebook or on social media, where he was on the other side of his window and they were both talking on the phone where they can actually see each other. And for our introverted friends, you know, they're like, this is no big deal. I like to chill at home, no big deal. But for those of us like myself who are extroverts, the thought of being isolated, it can bring some anxiety. So wherever you are today, my friend, whatever is anxious thoughts that you're dealing with, I just want you to know that we will stand together and we'll stand strong and we'll be hope-filled. And our temperature today, this is encouraging news. We're going to still see temperatures in the high 50s, partly cloudy skies, that sun peeking through all through the week. We'll get into, in fact, in a couple days, maybe even in the mid-60s. So I encourage you to get outside, enjoy a nice walk. My gym is closed. Just got the announcement that my gym is closed, and so that's not an option. But you certainly can go out and walk and enjoy the weather. Currently here in the studio, it's 41 degrees. This being Life Wednesday, where we affirm life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I want to continue in that spirit of talking to folks who have embraced life and really know what that means. And today I am so blessed to bring alongside of us today a mother of five children. Two of them are in heaven. Her oldest child is Grace, and she's a junior in college. Her daughter, Hope, is a senior in college, and Shane is a freshman. This is my friend, Becky Soski, who's a kindergarten teacher, and she served on many boards of local youth groups. She's also spearheaded a movement called Bless a Cop Today, and she gathers volunteer support in communities to help take treats to local law enforcement agencies three times a year. She's also been a voice in the pro-life movement, especially for moms who've suffered the pain of abortion. She herself having an abortion, she spent many years broken, then healed so she could help others heal. She's very active in the pro-life movement alongside of me when I lived in South Dakota. She's now living in Wyoming, and her focus is bringing life, liberty, and hope everywhere she goes. I'm excited to introduce to you my friend, Becky Soski. And Becky, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic. Nice to talk to you.
Yes. Isn't it fun to see how our lives kind of interject at different points in our life? And I just was remembering the first time I met you. You and I were at a coalition meeting, a Life and Liberty, a conservative coalition meeting, and we gathered together. And I believe Shane was just months old. And now he's, what, 16, 15? How old is Shane?
Yes. I think actually it was Hope.
Hope. Wow.
When we met. Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Where does life bring us? Well, Becky, your story is pretty compelling, and I love how you share, and in fact, you've even written a book that's out of print right now, but you share your story of going from really a state of confusion and chaos to a state of hope. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, in life we encounter circumstances that sometimes are out of our control, but sometimes we place ourselves in difficult situations. And when I went off to college, I engaged in a relationship and found myself pregnant. And just because of the the expectation that I wouldn't do such a thing, I really found myself trying to navigate that with the father of the child. And his solution was to have an abortion, and I really didn't have any faith or trust that I could tell anybody else. And so I followed through with that decision, and it was an instant life changer for me. The moment that we made that choice, everything changed for me. And I spent 17 years of my adult life trying to recuperate and heal and be made whole from a mistake that I chose. And it was a very difficult circumstance to walk through. And I placed myself in a lot of places where really statistically I shouldn't have come out of. I was drinking and driving. I was engaging in extremely reckless behavior in response to the fact that my nurturer in my own self knew that I should not have taken that life, and yet I made that choice. And I couldn't reconcile that. And finally, I was able to reconcile that through the goodness of God.
That's awesome. And was that just something you came to on your own? Was there someone that it was introduced into your life that shared the hope that they had in the Lord?
Well, God always works in mysterious ways. And when I went home the summer after I had the abortion, I was extremely depressed. And I was contemplating suicide and actively thinking of ways that I could try to end my own life. And God would have me placed at a little restaurant in my hometown, and the cook was just someone who, he worked part-time as a pastor and part-time as a chef, and was absolutely, just lived his life full of hope. And his sharing his hope is what gave me the courage to continue going on. So I really credit him with saving my life that summer.
The interesting thing I remember from your story, too, this gentleman just had this joy and hope, and you were like, what's up with this guy, right?
He'd come out of the freezer gathering cooking supplies and singing praise songs to Jesus. And I, at that point, I had known that I knew that God was real, but I really didn't understand personal relationship and what that would offer me. and how it could make me whole. But I knew I was broken, and I knew he wasn't. And I could see just a light in his face that I really wanted a piece of that, and I wanted to understand where did that come from.
And so he helped you understand that, and he really was the introduction. And through that transformation in your life, really trusting that God is who he says he is and that he can bring that hope and that help. How did you get from that point to healing from the loss? You know, I always say, and you've heard me say this, Becky, before, as we've walked through the healing process and recovering from that event of abortion, it really is an event. It's not an identity. Someone who's experienced abortion loss in their life, a man, a woman, something that happened in your life, and there is forgiveness and there is healing. How did you get to that point?
Well, it truly was a long journey, and part of what took me to that place was I had an opportunity to leave Wyoming and go live in Boston for a season, and really that was an excellent plan, an opportunity for me to go somewhere where I didn't feel like people had a preconceived notion of who I was, and I also knew nothing about my abortion, so I could kind of be free to start fresh. And I was working as a nanny, and our neighbor took me on a tour of the city of Boston, and actually he was legally blind from macular degeneration, but he knew his way around because he'd grown up in the city. So he was taking me to Faneuil Hall, and was walking me across, just there's like an open marketplace there called Quincy Market, and he walked us right through the middle of a pro-life demonstration where they hold those, you know, 10-foot posters of aborted babies. And he had no idea that he was in the middle of it because he literally didn't have strong enough vision to tell. But what ultimately happened for me was I felt like time froze, and I stood still and had to face that. That was what I did. I didn't just go have a medical procedure. I didn't remove a blob of tissue from my system. I took the life of my child, and I could no longer hide from it. And that day literally was the beginning of me seeking God and saying, please show me how to heal. And I just was continually granted opportunities to meet people and interact with people who loved God so deeply that they could impact that love to me and show me that there was hope for me.
And that really is the message. You know, if people have gone through that event of abortion loss, and maybe you're a grandparent, and back 30 years ago, your child had an abortion, and maybe you had decided that that was what was best for your child at that time, for her to have an abortion. You know, there is healing and hope. You don't have to walk with that guilt and that self-condemnation. And I love your story, Becky, because you have found that healing and hope. And I want to talk a little bit more of resources and places people can go to get that hope after this break. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. I'm Stacey Ann, and we'll be back here shortly. Thank you for tuning in on this Wednesday, March 18th.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning, stepping on my way.
And good morning, Salem. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacey Ann. Glad to be along with you on this Wednesday. Yes, indeed. March 18th. Nice day today. Currently at the KSLM studios, 41 degrees. Going to get up into maybe even 57 or so. Overnight low tonight, 32 degrees. And in the studio, via phone line, I have my friend Becky Soski, who is sharing her story, which is incredible. Becky, you have had an amazing life, and you are an incredible mom, and you're very involved in your community, and you and I had an opportunity to connect several years ago. In fact, we think when you were, when Hope was born, she's now, what, a junior in high school? Senior in high school. And so we've known each other throughout the years, and you served with me on the front lines in our pregnancy center that I had the privilege of being involved with for several years. You were our board president. And during that time where you and I are together, we experienced just wonderful opportunities to bring healing to women who and men who have lost children to abortion. And during that time, you yourself had walked through that process. Tell me a little bit about how that has impacted you and how you've shared with others their opportunity to go to these similar type healing recovery groups.
Well, I would say what I realized in connecting with the Pregnancy Resource Center is there is always healing to be done. Even if you feel that you've gone through maybe personal counseling or you've walked yourself through steps by reading the Bible, whatever it is, there really is more healing to be done. And Pregnancy Resource Center staff are well trained to know how to help you through. It is such an unusual situation to heal from, because at once you feel the guilt that the doctor caused, you know, aborted the child, yet you also were the one who made the decision, so you know you took your child's life. And it's such a fine line, because in the pro-life world, sometimes harsh judgment comes to you. They might use terms that are hard for you to hear. And then on the flip side, in the pro-choice world, they don't believe that you need healed because they don't think you did anything wrong. And you're that person walking that fine line, trying to find what your normal is and trying to move on. And pregnancy resource centers really are a guide for that. I was relatively far along in the healing process when you and I connected, and we did that weekend. I think we did like a 4-day study where we just walked through the process with some resources about how to consider all the components you need to heal. And it was such a revolutionary moment. It was, for me, still life-changing. And I'm thankful that those resources exist, because that's what women and men, and like you said, extended family, really need to know, that healing is there and they can be made whole.
I liken it to, and I've been, in fact, there's a video clip several years ago, I think 2009, where I was a part of an abortion recovery healing curriculum. And I stated that, you know, it's kind of like when Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. You know, he said, rise again, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. But he was still wrapped in that, in the clothing of the rags and the death cloth around him. And Jesus looked at the crowd and said, now you unwrap him. Jesus didn't touch him, didn't unwrap him. The people, the community had to unwrap him so he could live his life. And what I see in abortion recovery is we have a lot of women and men that are walking around hurt by that event that happened in their life and that loss. And by walking through this community of in the healing process in this recovery group, however, there's several really good curriculums out there. It's that through that community, the death cloth is removed and they can be free to walk through and have abundant life again. And it's such a good visual to me of what happens through that process.
Yes, and also to know that you're not alone. I feel that a lot of women especially feel that they're the only one who's really suffering. They don't understand that what they're experiencing, that pain, the nightmares, the self-doubt, the self-hatred, it's compounded because of the choice that was made, but you can be made whole from that. They just often feel that there isn't anybody else who feels that way. And I think that's what you find with the Pregnancy Resource Center, with those curriculums, with all of the resources that we have available. You find that you're really not alone, and other people have been there and have made their way out. So there's hope that you can too.
And that's the truth. The Pregnancy Help Center and Resource Center in your community really is a resource for women, not only those who are find themselves pregnant, not sure what to do. Also, those who have experienced abortion loss and need recovery. In the statistics, Becky, what I see is about 20 years after that events happen in their life is when they're really starting to figure out how this has affected their life and how they need help. And my experience has been women about 20 years after that event is like, okay, I'm in a place now where I can get healing. And the sad part is is that many women can't even say that they've had an abortion. They won't even, they'll write down pregnancy loss or miscarriage, or they have a hard time with that. And so the Pregnancy Help Center is a great resource, and we're very fortunate here to have Hope Pregnancy Center in Salem, Oregon. I know throughout the whole country, there are several pregnancy centers that bring help and hope to those that need it. Becky, we're going to come back here shortly. I want to get into a little bit about this Adopt-A-Cop program that you are involved with. And you may or may not know this, my friends, but Becky is a wonderful cook, and she has this gift of baking. And I'm sure everybody in your community, they look forward to when you open up your little cart in the summer and when you go to the local community cop shop. Right? And you bless them with these treats. I want to get into that here in a little bit. But also, too, Becky, I want you to be thinking as we go into this break, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it means for you to be a conservative and a patriot. We're going to get into that as well. You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, news that you can use. And I want to remind you, friends, that we can stay tuned by liking us on Facebook. Find us on Facebook at KSLM Radio. You can listen live all day at KSLM.news. And we're here to encourage, educate, and empower you. And if you have a community event coming up, let us know. Send me your information at Stacey@KSLM.news. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-E-Y, at KSLM.news. Continuing on after this break, talking to Becky Soski, talking about life, embracing life, and living abundant life.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning, Salem. Wednesday, March 18th. It's 7:35 and 41 degrees here at the KSLM studios. So glad to have you along, friend, for the ride this morning. We're here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower with news you can use. And on the line with me today, I have my friend Becky Soski, who is a mom, is a kindergarten teacher. And Becky, let's talk a little bit about that, because all over the nation, many schools have what's called an extended spring break in dealing with the coronavirus. How's that impacting your family?
You know, we are currently on spring break. So I guess timing-wise, that worked out pretty well for the state of Wyoming. Several districts are on spring break. The governor and superintendent of education made the call for us to extend until April 3rd. So at a minimum, we would be going back April 6th. And it was up to districts to determine if, you know, they would follow that timeline. And our district did make the choice to follow that timeline. Since we're on spring break, we're basically taking some time off right now. But next week, we'll be implementing some sort of distance learning so that the kids can continue to have some academics while they're on hold.
One of the things here in Oregon, the governor, we were going to have a four-week break or extended spring break. Now, the governor has declared through the whole month of April. April 28th. And when I think about families, I think about, you know, all of my kids. My five kids are promoted and out of the house. And now, you know, I think about 10 years ago, I was taking, you know, five kids, five different schools, you know, and then going to work full time. And I'm just trying to put myself in the place of some of these parents that are trying to figure out how to manage all of this, with some of them not having the opportunity to stay at home and work from home. And I'm curious, what kind of message would you have to these parents, these teachers too, that maybe they don't have the ability to do distance learning? What kind of encouragement could you give them this morning?
Well, I think with the advent of technology, I've noticed on Facebook several different sites sharing that they've moved to a free format until the coronavirus emergency passes. So ABC Mouse and different things like that that provide online learning are available for free right now. And those resources are being shared very, very widely on social media. I think also, the biggest thing you can do is keep your kid in books. Let them read. Have you read to them? Read as a family. At any level, kids can hunt for information in those books. You know, at kindergarten, sight words is a really big focus, and so you can use any kind of print to be searching for those and create sentences. And I think one thing you have to be careful of is I don't think anybody's expecting the parents to have to step up and suddenly be a full-time teacher, because like you said, they have jobs, they have a lot of commitments already in place. But just do the best you can, keep a smile on your face, let your child laugh, let them breathe, and breathe fresh, clean air, right, so we can get the virus out.
Yeah.
And get back into the school system so that we can finish our school years. But I think they just have to give each other a measure of grace and be really flexible, because this is a fluid situation. We currently are holding ourselves to the April 3rd deadline, but that could also be extended depending on how the virus spreads throughout the state of Wyoming. So it's all a watch and wait kind of situation, and all of us are navigating this with new feet walking into a new situation.
Well, and I was sharing on the air a couple days ago, I don't think a life as I've known it in my years has been as disrupted in a sense, where it's a new normal since 9/11, when everything kind of was paused that week, and that people are just trying to understand how to navigate through this time. And it's really a time not to live in fear or panic, but to live in faith and realize your natural networks of community, even though we've got to practice social distancing and be aware that when we go out in the community, that we're not, you know, invading someone's space because they may be, or you may be, a carrier. And that's the part that's so unknown about this. And I think people feel out of control is because we don't know for weeks if someone potentially is carrying this or will have symptoms down the road. And so that unknown, I think that's why everybody's stepping in strong to try to squash this virus from spreading any further. And so we are all looking at how we're going to do our day-to-day lives. One of the things that you have been involved in creating community is this Adopt the Cop program, where you bless those on the front lines. And I know here in Salem, they are rolling up their sleeves. Kaiser particularly, there's been some influence there of the coronavirus. And so they're working on the fire station there. They're working on a smaller scale as far as employees and trying to do the best that they can. You know, what can we do here in Salem to be a blessing to those on the front lines?
I think the first thing, in all honesty, that you can do is please abide in the law. It sounds silly, and that seems so obvious, but at the same time, crime doesn't seem to take a vacation no matter the circumstance or emergency. So the best thing we can do is be diligent to know that you are abiding in the law. Be graceful. If you have an opportunity to buy dinner for a police officer, please do so. If you have an opportunity just not to shake hands right now, maybe a distance handshake, you know, but just encourage them and let them know they're not alone. Sometimes just hearing that feedback is a bigger blessing than you can imagine. When I started Bless a Cop Today as a movement just to reach out to law enforcement, it started the summer of 2016 after the Dallas police shootings, and I was just fed up listening to people complain about police officers and their overreach. And I've decided, you know, I can fight back and argue, or I can just go be a blessing to the police officers in my community. I can show my support. So on a very small scale, my son and I went and gathered treats and drinks, and we just took it to all of the local law enforcement, and we just said, we are here to thank you. We just want you to know you are not alone and that we stand by you. And, you know, it was such a moving thing. I did it with my son first, just on our own. And friends of mine said, okay, next time you do that, we want in on this. This is awesome. So I just sort of gathered, you know, volunteers. We went to the next, we went to the sheriff's department the second time. And literally one of the officers cried and said to me, I was ready to step away from law enforcement, but you've given me the hope to continue. So it seems minute to take a moment and just verbally say, or in a letter, say thank you for the sacrifice, but it really does make a difference to the officers because, like I said, crime doesn't stop. And what people often don't understand is that law enforcement and first responders, every single day, they put their life on the line. They have no guarantee that they're coming home any day. And yet they do that willingly, and their family makes that sacrifice on our behalf. So I think whatever we can do to show appreciation for that is definitely needed and should be done everywhere we can.
I think that's a great illustration of what people can do, practical things people can do, even when you're home. I know a lot of our restaurants and bars are closed here in the Salem area, but what we can do is drive through and get food yet and treats and go to the store and buy. I remember, Becky, you and I blessed a business when we were at the Pregnancy Help Center together with cookies and milk. Do you remember that little excursion that we went on?
Yes. Those things are wonderful.
Yes. And so what you could do is be of an encouragement to those on the front lines. And certainly we know we can be in prayer, but in action. And even our United Way here in Salem, Willamette Valley United Way, that covers Marion County, Yamhill County, and Polk County, they're teaming together and asking for help and volunteers to come and put boxes together for homebound seniors and those that are food insecure, that have kids at home, all of those kinds of things. We can do something with this time, even though it's kind of our lives are in pause. We can still be producing good efforts and good works to encourage those in our community. Becky, you know, it's important, transitioning a little bit about our community frontline folks, but it's also important to be of encouragement and to be praying for our elected leaders who are really carrying the burden of what's going on and the decisions that need to be made. And we're called to keep them in prayer and keep them accountable. What is important to you in regards to being a conservative and a patriot? And why is it important that people pay attention and go out and vote?
Oh, I have voted in every election since I had the legal right to do so. When I turned 18, I have voted in every election. And I know people can be frustrated with the political process. Sometimes you can feel that your voice is not heard, but there's no worse way to be unheard than to not vote and not have your own voice. You know, you have to hold them accountable, write letters to your legislators, make phone calls, ask them to visit your community, reach out to them and let them know what your needs are and what you need as a constituent so they understand what they're striving for. And I think the power of the vote is really essential. Locally, statewide, nationwide, it really is critical that we believe the opportunity to vote is the biggest blessing that we have as a free republic. And I, as a ardent patriot, will always take that opportunity to vote, no matter how I feel the outcome is. I have to have my vote heard. If my candidate doesn't win, then time we come back around and we try for the same victory. But you definitely have to stretch out and vote and take that opportunity to exercise your rights.
And how do you evaluate the candidates, Becky? When you have an election, what filter, how do you evaluate who you're going to vote for?
I know people have different methods, but my method that has always held true for me is first they must be pro-life. All decisions stem from the right to life. Everything that we say about, if there is no right to life, there is no reason to say we value anything beyond that. If there's no life, there is nothing to live. So that is my first priority. Second to that is limited government. I think it's important. In Wyoming, we're definitely a live and let live kind of state. We don't necessarily come in fast, but we do want people to know that conservatively, we want less government. We want more money back in our own pockets, and that's a critical element for me as well.
That's a great point, Becky. Thank you for sharing how you choose candidates at election. You're listening to KSLM Reliable News Talk Radio with news you can use. Good morning, Salem. We'll be back right after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Wednesday, March 18th at 7:50 on this wonderful Wednesday morning. Our studio line is 503-589-1220. Reliable News Talk Radio. Find us online at KSLM.news, Facebook, KSLM Radio. Want to say hello to Kevin and Judy that are listening online. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Stacey Ann, and I just want to remind you, this is a scripture that I've always held on to in times of uncertainty and anxious times. The Lord is good and a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in Him. Putting our trust and faith in Him, hitting that fear head on, knowing that fear is false evidence appearing real. We're going to stay equipped with the facts, knowing that if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. And on the line with me is my friend Becky Soski. I've known her for several years. She is a wonderful life advocate in the pro-life movement. We've been in the trenches together. She is an amazing mom, a wonderful community member, a teacher, a kindergarten teacher, and her wisdom and her insight I've found valuable over the years. And Becky, you know, we got a text message from Bree. She's my youngest. She's now graduated from high school. She's back in Arkansas, kind of managing the farm and working. And I'm just so proud. You know, as a mom, you're just so proud when all of your kids are independent and working and contributing. But when you're not there with them and there's times of trouble like this, and you almost want to wish you could just gather all your babies real close and hold them close, you know, during these times. But that's part of the parenting thing, the releasing, the promoting. Often I'll say, yep, I've got five promoted out of the nest. And it was so cool. She said to us, her text was, do we have extra gas cans around the house? You know, like what you'd use to mow the lawn with, you know, or if you run out of gas, you go to the gas station again. And she said, I understand that gas prices are going down, and I'm thinking maybe I want to store some extra gas. And I'm thinking, we just got a chuckle out of that. But I thought, wow, you know, she's thinking ahead. It's not just about hoarding the toilet paper, but she's, you know, being wise and all of the way kids process information between the age 18 to 23. You know, there's still some development, and it's just such a struggle if their parents are home with their kids, and it's bumpy. That's what I say. It's bumpy when there's differences of opinion, maybe even political opinion, insight and things like that. We want our kids to be independent and live their lives. But yes, we still kind of want them to think like we think, right? How do you handle that?
Yes.
How do you handle that in your household?
Well, I think one thing that I have to remember in my parenting, and I was just speaking with my mother about this last night, she raised me and modeled for me that she was very independent-minded. And while she would work in conjunction with my father, she was strong to hold her own opinions, and she had the right to do so. So she raised me to feel that same sense of independence, and shockingly, I raised my kids the same way. So we can't be surprised when what we look for is what we actually bring out in them. So oddly, I've, you know, found some situations where my kids maybe have a different perspective than me. Like you said, maybe politically they branch out a little bit. And sometimes those things can be difficult, but I've had some conversations with my kids where I have said, I love you more than I disagree with you.
Mm.
And I really feel that doesn't extend just as a parent, but it extends to friendships. It extends to family. We don't have to see eye to eye on everything, but we do have to be graceful in listening to the other person. And while I can find it internally frustrating when my kids step away from what I think is very sound reasoning, I have to trust that they're going to figure that out for themselves. And honestly, they may make some mistakes in the process, but when they come to me, the first thing I'm going to say is, I love you no matter what.
Well, and the expression that I've used throughout the years, and I was a foster mom and had foster children as well in my home, is that God loves these children more than we do. They're a gift to us, and he is, and even in the household, they might not agree with the decisions I'm making, the direction I'm going, and maybe they look at me as mean or cruel, but I say, look, I'm responsible to God for how I raise you. And then once they're promoted or released, you know, it's the care and concern doesn't change. You still keep them in prayer. It's just our influence and direct impact changes. And that's the part of the releasing that's a little bit of a challenge. But I love what you said. And I think this is critical in times that we live in right now, where we agree and to disagree at some point, right? Politically, maybe even on faith-based issues, is that we still need to have good discussions. We need to have honor in those discussions and respect for people that might have a different opinion. And but it doesn't mean that we cannot, you know, express our opinions. And oftentimes people say, well, we don't want to talk about religion, or we don't want to talk about politics. It's too polarizing. I disagree. I think we do need to come together and reason together and understand and broaden our perspective on both sides. Don't you agree?
I believe that I totally agree with you, Stacey. And I believe that some of the reasons it's so polarizing is because we've avoided talking about it for so long that we no longer know how to have a conversation. We are so bent on sharing our viewpoint that we don't hear what the other person is saying. And there's a quote from, I can't even remember the person who said it, but it's basically, I will defend to my death your right to say what you say, even if I disagree with you. I absolutely hold fast to that. I don't expect everybody to see the world the same way I do. And I also know I have never convinced someone of my perspective by using a bully pulpit. I've never convinced anyone to be pro-life by hounding them and telling them all the things they do wrong as a pro-choice thinker. What I have done is shown them my own walk and been able to say, I know this is true because I've lived it, and using compassion and tenderness in trying to approach the subject. I've had a lot of people change their hearts personally and come to the pro-life perspective simply because I've used a measure of grace in talking with them.
And that's exactly what you just said there. And a part of it goes back to the story that we shared in the first segment about how you were introduced to the Lord, and the individual that worked with you. It was his joy that you noticed different about him. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. He just exuded love and joy in everything he did. And even his countenance on his face was markedly different than a typical person that I may interact with. And it impacted me, and it still has a measure of impact on me today. That influence has remained with me.
And I'm suspect that the parents of the children that you teach in kindergarten, because I know you, Becky, and that joy is something that I've seen in you over the years. No matter what you're walking through, you have this sweet spirit of joy and love and just a compassionate way about you that you change the dynamics of a room when you walk into it, Becky. And that really is something that in this time we can choose joy. We can bring that with us wherever we go, bringing help and hope and encouragement in these troubled times that we seem to be walking in, these uncertain times. We can bring facts and love and still that freedom to talk about what's important to us. Becky, thank you for joining me this morning. Be blessed. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Stacey.
You're listening to KSLM News Talk Radio, reliable news you can use. I'm Stacey Ann. Sure have enjoyed my time with you. Be sure to find us on Facebook, KSLM Radio. Follow along all day long online at kslm.news. Have a fantastic day, my friends. Remember, choose joy and walk in faith today.